Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Amen. Welcome to Talk Straight. Amen. We are here once again to elaborate on some of the things that's going down or have in the past went down. In other words, God is so good, He give us a chance to recall about the past. Amen. We thank God again for this show, Talk Straight, and on behalf of Reuben Dockery, amen, we thank God for him, and in his absence, I'm standing in the gap once again for him. As the co-host, my name is Minister Ricky Waller. And again, I just want to make known of this is the day that the Lord has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. And on this night, we ask if you desire to call in. The number is 657-383-0944. You are welcome for, amen, an opportunity to dialogue with us based on the evidence of comments and concerns. On this night, we are going to elaborate on some of the things that we talked about. We will be able to reflect back about the topic moving from what to how. And in doing so, we want to utilize the scriptures as I've been ordered to do so. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. And it reads, it says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways, verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. That's awesome. I'm glad about it because I'm going to always need some help, you know, to do whatever needs to be done according to the will of God in my life. I don't know about you, but I thank God for giving such information as this. The scripture did read, and it's talking about preparation, you know, of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Can you imagine, amen, all of whatever we may think, feel, or believe, in our own ways, we may think it's clean and right, but the Lord is who's going to weigh the spirit. So again, we thank God for tonight. Speaking about moving from what to how in 2018, we want to demonstrate, amen, for those of you who don't mind sharing with those that are here and may be able to ask questions from what they have a chance to listen and hear us talk about on this night. So just do call in. We expect to hear from you and realize that this blog radio show is about to take off, and we need your help, amen, to elaborate on some of the things that we will talk about. And I believe that in spite of what once upon a time was, it's always good to know what's happening right now. So we expect you to call in, and we'll talk about some of the things that has gone down as well as what's happening right now. You know, the Word of God does say that this I recall to my mind, according to Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. That sounds like to me we have a chance to look back, see how good God has been to us. We can make known of it if we choose to do so. So again, we just want to thank God for this great show. And on behalf of Pastor Dockery, on his campaign trail, as he is in a continuation of what he desired to do based on what he's assigned to do. And, of course, you know that he's not able to be in two places at one time, but he's making sure that this show be carried out. And I thank him for allowing me to be able to sit in the gap on his behalf. Again, with expectations, we are asking for you to call in and to show your concerns, even to share your concern and to amen, recognize that there's power.
Pastor Wallace, we have actually two new callers. Welcome caller 3072 and welcome caller 8112.
Praise God. Amen. Two callers. I'm familiar with those callers. Praise God. I thank God for those two young ladies that called in. That means that there is enough information right there that calls us to be able to continue to carry out what we can on this night. So welcome. 3072 and 8112 is what I was told.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Doing okay.
Great.
That's good. That is good. You know, the Word of God does say where there's two or three gathered together in His name, touching and agreeing, He said there He would be in the midst of us. So we want to make sure we welcome Him in tonight so we can talk about some of the things that has gone down. I don't know if you heard what I shared in the beginning, but He laid the scripture out for us, and I like it. I'm going to rerun it, if you will, and then I can ask you ladies to come in whenever you desire to and share with us what you think about when it says what. It said the topic tonight is moving from what to how. And I want to know what could that mean, what. But the Word of God says, according to Proverbs 16, verse 1 through 3, and it says, preparation of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. And verse 3 is the part that I really have to make known of myself and appreciate it when it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. So we want to talk about what it means to be part of the preparation, means to prepare whatever it is that we desire in our heart. But in the meantime, verse 1 is talking about the preparation of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So if we know that the Lord is on our side, and I used to hear people say, and I didn't see it in the Bible because I didn't have one, but I heard someone say encouraging words like this, say he may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. I mean, I used to hear that, but I didn't know what that meant until I seen something to back it up in the scripture, you see. So I'm going to ask one of you ladies what it means to you to prepare. You know, what is that like? But the answer is going to come from the Lord, because He's the one going to finalize whatever it is that we may be thinking. Because verse 2 is talking about all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighed the spirit. So that means we may think we are doing something right, which is a good intention. The Lord said, I'm going to weigh it up just to make sure. So we got to always keep in mind that the Lord is checking out what we do and say. Talk to me, someone. One of you ladies, talk to me about what is it like to know that you can go about your life, but yet still always know that the Lord is going to weigh up whatever you do or say. Talk to us about that. That's like what, you know, and then get to the part where it says to how. So who going to go first? Yeah, I was just, let me call out one of you if you don't mind. And I would say 8112 right now. Tell me about what preparation means to you. How do you prepare to deal with maybe just.
No, I hear you. I'm sorry. I am a woman that I don't like planning things.
Okay.
I kind of like a flyby girl, if you call it. When it's there, it is in front of me, and then I get it done. And okay. I do better with that. So far as to prepare for a lot of things that happen bad in your life, you're not prepared for that because you don't plan on it to happen. Unless we know one of our loved ones is real sick, sure as we born, we know you're going to die one day. But still, how prepared are you for this?
Yeah,
not
I mean,
quite,
good,
because you're still going to hurt. It's still a process. So it's the same way with most things in life, I think. I mean, you prepared, your parents prepared for you to go to school, college, and when I grew up, la-da-da-da-da, and sometimes things just don't work out like you thought.
Now, Now you own it now. Now you own it, which is all right. This is what I wanted to make sure that the scripture is reminding us that that's all right. At least you're
that's
making
right.
preparation. But the Lord is going to be the one that steps in and say, just because of your effort to deal with things as they are, that's when you fully depend upon him. And I know you guys, you the two of you often have heard me say myself, that I don't even trust me. You can only imagine me trying to prepare for something. And that means that in my preparation, I always want to make it known. The final decision, Lord, is going to always be up to you now. You know, that's what I would always need it to be. So I like that point. So 37-2, come in and talk to us about that. What is your take on that? Because that's a good, very good point that Ada Wells made, and she hit me right off the top when she said she'd rather just face things as they are and deal with them as they are, and that's the best way to go about it. I mean, I'm in total agreement with that. It's just like, live each day for what it is and don't try to resist it. Talk to us about what you think about that.
I think that's great for whoever that works for. I've tried to do that in the past. However, well, I think in order to do that, one must come into a state of, I guess, humbleness and security with self and God. I personally, I haven't just gotten there yet. I like to kind of try to control things. I am a planner. I'm a thinker. So I'm always, and that can be very stressful, you know. And that is so true for God to weigh things up, because sometimes when you're in, I guess, a state of, like a rush or an emergency so much, because you're planning, you're thinking, you're strategizing so much that sometimes, like you said, it can start out as good and pure and righteous intentions. While under so much duress and stress, it makes you frantic, it makes you desperate, it makes you nervous, and we're thrown off of that path of righteousness sometimes. But, you know, you got to be able to just come back in and, you know, try to regroup and finally, I guess, put it in God's hand and just work it as it goes, as it comes. So that's good. That was a good thought.
Yeah, very well
Pastor
said.
Wait,
I mean, got another listener?
Yes.
Praise God.
Caller.
Amen.
Caller 4379.
Welcome to Talk Street. Hey, you doing? Well, amen. Praise God for you, brother. Amen. Welcome. Man, we're here talking and we're stirring up, man, already. Them ladies have already stirred up, man. And I tell you, brother, look, I'm going to have to ask you in just a second, because what I just heard from these ladies, man, you know, they're preparing, you know, something that's very unique, and it's like stirring up the gifts, because they both had an opportunity to deal with what I'm going to share with you. We're talking about moving from what to how, and to be able to reflect back on how things was versus what they can become. You know, Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. But we got into verse 2 because we haven't gotten into verse 3 yet, as we will. Verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. So 81:12 shared with us, very unique, because they know how I am about trusting myself. They know I just admit that I don't do it. I haven't done it over 26 years purposely. And in this, he's talking about preparation of the heart in man, but the answer is from the Lord. You know, it's what we need to stand on. So how do I be able to say, okay, today I'm going down the street. That's what I said I'm going to do. But I told them, when I do things like that, I make sure the final decision is always made up to what the Lord would be pleased with, whether it come out like I decided I was going to desire to do it that way. If it don't come out that way, I'm still not trusting me. And if it come out that way, I went down the street and made it down the street, because something could take place that caused me not to be able to get down there for whatever the reason is. So I make sure that it's the Lord who's going to weigh the spirit, my intention. So it's not a bad thing to prepare according to preparation, but always be mindful. That's when you know that the Lord should have a say in it and always include him. So what do you think about that? Talk to us. But 37-2 came back and said, she's a planner. And that's a beautiful thing, because if we're not planning to do anything, and she says she's just not there yet, and I love how she put that, because her practice is that she always want to make sure that she is mindful of the Lord. So what do you think about that? In all your ways, you know, it's clean in your own eyes, but the Lord is who's going to weigh the spirit up. How you feel about that?
Hey, well, I mean, you know, I definitely tend to agree. I think that, you know, really the right direction is really both of them, in the sense of, you know, kind of just like you said it, you have to start with in God and make sure that whatever plans you're trying to make are of him.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start there, then what you need, you should make the plans. You should sit and plan. Everyone should. And planning is something that's more preparation. It's something that is something you have to practice, and you get better at it. You know, if you've ever tried to do stuff, you know, you try it the first time and nothing goes according to how you thought it was going to go, but you analyze it, make adjustments, and you plan something else, and then a little bit more things tend to go right. So it's something that you can work on and get better at. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. You know, you have to, if you want to get somewhere. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, like it's been brought up, if something doesn't go exactly how you thought it would go, then you need to be prepared to accept it if it's coming from God, and change whatever your original plans were. And you need to kind of roll the punches a little bit. You have to have something to start with, at least. You know, and then from there, it's okay if things kind of get changed along the way, but you got to have a plan at first. So you can't just, I don't think you should just be completely, you know, in there blind. Luke 14:28 says, for which of you desiring to build a tower, you know, doesn't count the cost. So, you know, you have to, if you're trying to do something, you know, worthwhile, you got to plan, you got to prepare for it. And you have to pray for guidance and assistance on how to prepare for it. So that's what I think.
Okay, well, excuse me, if I may intervene for a moment, please.
Sure.
I personally, like I said, and I'll say it again, I don't plan. Everybody lives differently. I understand that. I live for today and hope for tomorrow, and hope tomorrow be either just as less as yesterday, each and every day. And I guess I said that to say this. I thank God for Jesus when I rise.
Mm-hmm.
My head. So if there's something going on like big holiday, I'm good at planning things like that. I don't plan them. I go ahead and do what I'm doing and hope they turn out for the best. And when and if they don't, then I have to move along and try to keep it going. And that's how I live. I don't know about anybody else, but I respect what you said.
Oh, without a doubt, I think that's a beautiful thing that you said, and I love that, because you're hitting on something, because that's me, and I have to be mindful of that, if you don't mind me sharing this with you. That's me all over, you know, 26 years ago, you know, it changed. But before then, 81-12, I mean, that was me all the way. I didn't know God. I didn't have no relationship with the Word of God or anything like that. So I had to go for what I knew. 37-2, you understand what I'm saying? I'm dealing with, like, I don't know God. I just know that today I'm going to get up and I'm going to do the same thing, because, you know, there was a song years ago talking about a one-track mind. One of them was a temptation. Somebody was saying that song. And, you know, and then at having that one track, my mindset was just on that one track because I was captured. So I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again, day after day, you know, week after week, year after year, and nothing changed because that was a pattern. And then, you know, to be able to come up to speed and say, man, the Word of God, if I acknowledge him in everything I do today, it's a major difference. And that's where that topic come in, at moving from what. See, my what was, that's what I was doing before change took place. Now, to how. Okay, today, I even admit, I shared with the group, you know, with everyone on the panel, I said, I don't trust myself And I know someone would say, how you not even trust yourself in 26 years? No, I cannot afford it. Because the day I trust in myself, I know exactly what I would do, whether I would do it or not. I mean, this is just what I believe I would do if I start trusting me. So it's a beautiful thing what you all are sharing. And I like to elaborate on what it says in Proverbs 3:5. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know, and hearing something like that, it's like it's almost scary respectfully, because it's like, okay, God is saying, the Lord is saying to me, look, whatever you do, like whatever you do, just acknowledge me to know that I'm in existence. And you have to get to know me because you don't know me. And 3072 said it so well. She said, I haven't got there yet. In other words, her practice is constantly learning how to, from this point on, acknowledge him in everything I do, because it's not easy. It's 24 hours in a day. I mean, at some moment, you cannot even have God on your mind for whatever may cause that. You see. But in the midst of all that, this has been my practice for 26 years. I say good or bad, right or wrong, like it or not, up or down, I'm still not going to trust me, because it's still something that I'm learning that Proverbs 3:5-6 says that, and I want to start continually to acknowledge that every day. And verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And, brother, you said something about if we just acknowledge him first, that would be beautiful. But how many of us don't acknowledge him first in a 24-hour period, every moment, you see?
But if
and
I
so
may,
that's why, let me finish this right here. Okay, that's all right. Let me finish this, then I'm going to come back there and let you say something. That's why when I start in the Bible, it's talking about in a moment, that's how fast change can take place. So I have to always keep in mind it's the moments. It's not the whole day. It's just that moment of change. And, you know, and so we have to keep that in mind. But I'm going on now. What about the people that don't know the Word of God, don't know anything about God? What about those people? How can we encourage those people? Should our example be something that we should walk, or should we talk it from time to time to encourage people? You know, we don't have to be in no church now. We just need to be mindful of, we are learning things that we didn't know. How do we approach people that don't have that God concept? What do we do? Talk to me, 8112, if you wanted to share something, and then we'll come back to that question. And also, we got two minutes, and we'll go to a break. Okay, so give me something in that two-minute rim, and we'll come back if we need to and finish up what you got to say.
Okay, I was thinking that, keep in mind, it's not that I don't know God. I know him personally for myself, because he's within me.
Sure.
Not only that, how do we tell someone? Because you never know how God going to come in the form of an angel. He could be like looking like a bum on the street, walking down the street, as 3072 said, and need some help. And when you doubt, that's how you test. He tests your faith. And your humbleness, what's within you, is what I believe. Because he can send you to him in the form of a cat, and the cat may be hungry and you don't feed it.
My goodness.
You don't
even know
where that cat came from. May not even like him, but you can throw him some milk. You can give him a piece of bread.
He may not even like him.
It comes within your soul. And for people, everybody has a conscience, whether they want to say they do or not. Some play like they don't. But when life gets through beating you down, if it beats you down like that, I guarantee you, one day you may say, God, help me. Really? Now you calling me?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't only call me because you think you need me. Call me on me all the time. And I have to, regardless to whether I feel good or bad.
So that's beautiful to acknowledge him at all times. That's basically something that we want to be able to start practicing even more, you would say. Not knowing him and getting to know him a little bit better would mean that you have to always keep him on your mind. And that's the thing that I'm hearing here, is that, you know, you acknowledge him in all of your ways. And so that means that every moment that you live is a part of all of your ways. Would you be in agreement with that? And that's a learning, though. That's not something that you may have down packed, so you have to get to that point. But in the meantime, let us get a little break in there right quick, because we've gone over a little bit, and then we'll come right back and continue on this conversation. All right? Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen. Welcome back to Talk Straight. I mean, that song is just stood out. Said, I tried him. Now I know him. And how am I going to say I know him if I never tried him? Glory to God. So we thank God again for everyone that's sitting on the panel. And we thank God for those that are listening, and for those that desire to call in and chime in at any time to get to know what we're talking about. And tonight, we're talking about moving from what to how. And I tell you, it's amazing to just hear something that reminds you when you tried him. Now you can say through the process, you got a chance to know him. And I don't know him as well as I would love to, but I can say he's brought me from a mighty long way. Coming from not knowing anything about him other than he exists. And that only came from I just heard somebody say that he did. But to be able to find out for yourself is an awesome, awesome, and I would say with emphasis on it. When I say awesome, to get to know him, words cannot even express how grateful I am to know that I can say I once was lost, but now I'm found. Anybody that's tuned in right now can agree to that, that you know once upon a time you was lost, and since you tried him, you got to know him, and you feel like right now you're found, but you still don't know all that there is to know about him. Somebody talk to me about that, because verse 3, according to Proverbs 16, it says in verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thought shall be established. Somebody talk to us about that. What do you think about that? I'm going to give 3072 an opportunity to kind of, because I heard your practice and I heard you say some things that remind me of, when you say I'm not there yet, does that mean your relationship with him is in a pursuit of constant desiring him more and more each day? Does that fit the scripture that we're dealing with? Commit, in other words, submit, turn over your works unto the Lord, and then your thoughts shall be established. Talk to us about that.
For me, I was saying that, it is. I mean, a daily process, as well as struggles. I mean, I'm not on here trying to jive or kid anybody to think that I'm perfect or I know everything or, you know, things are just cut and dry or just all black and white. It's not. I mean, I think the other caller summed it up by saying moment by moment, things change. I mean, and with those things that change, we have to be able to turn and change and go in the right direction of the wind that God is sending us into. So with that being said, I mean, for instance, I used to live like not, you know, making plans or just, you know, living in the moment. And, you know, however, it is important to make plans and to learn from yesterday, to learn from yesterday, to look forward to tomorrow. I mean, I was sitting up just going day by day, and precious time was getting away, and precious gifts from God was getting away too. I do believe God to be loving and fair and all of that other stuff, but I do know him to be a God of him expecting us to have more than just faith, but works behind having faith too. So that's what I'm trying to work on, is making sure that I know which voice I need to listen to. My voice, his voice, or those external factor voices, the devil and other people that may mean well, but not telling you well, because they don't know your walk and your plight.
My goodness. You said something very interesting, that voice. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
That was my thought.
Okay, well, that's great. Yeah. I like to commend you with that, because that voice is very important, and that's why it's good to be able to listen. That's why he said words like this, his voice speaks, you know, in the book of Matthew 11 and verse number 29, when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Sound like that's his voice speaking to you and say, look, take what I have to offer you and learn of me, because I know you don't know me as well as you would like to. Could it be that some people are afraid to step out because they're thinking they're so bad and doing things, you know, to the point where they just don't want to jive. They don't want to pretend, like you said.
That's
talking a lot of people. Even today, I believe that there are so many people, that's why they don't attend church and things like that, because they just don't want to. And I'll give you a good example. My mother, I'll be honest with you, my mother, and she, I know she wouldn't mind me saying it because it's the truth. And she didn't go because she didn't want to pretend. I guess, you can hear the people, you know, when they come out of the church, and when she see what they are doing or what they were doing, it could cause her to stumble and say, well, I'm not going in there. This is what you're doing when you come up out of the church. You could be hurting someone with what you're doing by coming out of a place, because I just thought everybody in the church was, you know, was saved and knew God. I mean, that's just when I walked in, what I thought. And that could talk to us about that. You know, what kind of effect do we have on people when we say we know the Lord and then they're listening to us or watching what we do? Talk to us, brother. I want you to – what's your number? Because I want to get your number in there as well.
4379.
79.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
So, you know, I like that scripture. You know, commit thy words to the Lord. And I like that scripture. And I think that, you know, and I think that when you're talking about things changing and you having to respond to things that are changing, I think that selection of word change is interesting, because something is only a change when you already perceived it to be a certain way in the first place. It's not a change. You didn't already have your mind made up. It's just a direction. It's just, it was already planned there. You just didn't know it. So it's only a change to you because you already had your mind fixed on something else. That's why you perceive it as a change. That's what I perceive it as, a change, as opposed to being tapped in on what God's plan actually was all along. And I think that he will reveal that to you. And that's the point of that scripture. That's why I said I like it. Commit thy word to the Lord. He's going to tell you, if you are committing what you're doing and what the works of your hand are to him, he will tell you to plan. So you don't have to plan all by yourself. It's not like you have to try to be this master perfect planner stuff. You got help. All you got to do is commit all your works to him, and he's going to put on your mind exactly what Noah did not need to be a mathematician to build the ark. God told him every measurement on the whole ship. He told him everything. He didn't have to know all this stuff.
Yeah, he had to
that was told to him in great detail. Yeah. So, you know, I like that it doesn't have to be so hard as we make it out to be. And then you're talking about, you know, Jesus telling him to take that yoke upon him. And, you know, I like the verse that follows that. He tells him, my yoke is easy. He tells him that you don't got to struggle for it.
Yeah,
all you
got to
do is in line with me.
Yeah, Jesus,
and
Jesus.
You just got to get in line with me. And then you're going to know what you need to do.
So back again, Carl, so many people are afraid, though, even though his yoke is easy, you see. And then when people just have a tendency to say, okay, I'm watching from afar because I'm afraid and I don't know what the scripture says or anything. So they're still watching people who say that they know him. And then back again, as I said, my mother, she made sure that she called on the Lord from a distance. That's how I actually, when years went by, I finally called on him myself. And I went according to what I heard my mother say. I didn't go according to going up into the church and to hear what they were doing or saying. I was going on, my mother said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm thinking, I didn't see that in no Bible, and I know she didn't open the Bible up, but I heard her say those words, you know. In 37:2, when I grew up, you know, 30-some years later, I said, man, I wonder, will you have mercy on me? Because what happened when she said, Lord, have mercy on me, And then later on down the line, I don't know if he came through for her or what, but she said, thank you, Jesus. I said, well, man, I remember when she said that when I was a little boy. So I decided, you know, that that's what I was going to do, and that's what I did. But I wanted to make sure I was sincere from the heart. Lord, help me. I can't help me. This stuff is killing me. And I did. So yes, you know, you got to be mindful of people are watching, you know, you and what you say and do when you say you know the Lord. And commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And that's the main. That's the main thing. The things that we say. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say too that you know there's definitely a correlation in the Bible with people who give everything, don't hold nothing back. You know, when you say from afar, that kind of makes me get or picture in my mind that you say you believe, but, you know, I'm not going to fully invest everything into it because I'm not too sure. I don't really know. And there definitely seems to be in the Bible a correlation of all the stories of the people who fully commit getting abundance, and they get everything. And the people who fully commit are kind of, yes, man, hold on 1 second, please. Are kind of in a limbo a little bit. You know, you look at the story of David, and pretty much he made, you know, a mistake or two in his life, and he got punished for those. But more or less, his legacy is remembered pretty much him doing everything God was asking him to do. And for that, he gave his son, he made his son one of the greatest kings in history. You know, and that's reiterated over and over again whenever people, Job was a well-off man, and that's because he believed more than most people, you know what I'm saying, would. So it's a repetition of the people who believe a lot and who give everything. They don't hold nothing back. And, you know, and that's really goes along with that commit the works thing. You know, in Revelation, he's talking about, he's giving warnings to the churches. And he's telling them about the lukewarm church, not being kind of like, I mean, yeah, we sing, we believe, but we're not really going to obey everything. So, you know,
that's a lukewarm church, though, brother. We're not talking about a lukewarm church. We're talking about people from afar now. Think about what I'm saying. People from afar that don't even go into a church, you see, and those people are watching people that are lukewarm in the church, probably, and they're coming out, and you can't tell, you know, the difference between the two because you don't know God at all. And so, you know, and I think that, I think 37 people wanted to say something, and I'm going to elaborate on some of the things that you talked about. Let me give her a chance to step in and say what's on her mind right quick, okay? 37 people, you was about to say something, and then we'll get back to that.
Well, I would highly encourage, and I'm not a pastor, but I would encourage people to come to develop their own relationship with God first and get to know him. For them, those history or stories in the Bible were, man, great, awesome, astronomical. They were great. However, you need to be a modern day whoever, Joel or Pastor Waller or 8112 or 33. Mm-hmm. You need to have your own story is what I'm saying and what I know to be true. We cannot walk around trying to mimic other people in our or along our path in our daily lives. We have to live our own lives, live our best lives, but we have to develop our own relationships. And I think that's what we're talking about is the what and how. That's how.
Right.
Come to know him. Seek him for yourself. Because my story is not going to be your story. It's not going to be his story. It's not going to be
right.
her story. It's going to be mine.
That's
so
right.
with that being said, with trial and error and much willingness to learn is what you got to do. That's just it.
Thanks.
I mean, you may start off weak to build up to strong.
Yeah, very well put. I want to say this if you will. Let me
just really quick, if you don't mind. I just want to throw something in there. Go ahead.
Hold on. Let me talk for a second. I'm going to let you talk. Hold on just for a second. But what 372 is saying is how it's getting to know him for yourself, meaning that there were people that didn't attend church as they was doing, and there was a person that was from the Father. Said, Lord, say, just speak a word. Said, I don't want you coming over where I'm at. Just speak a word. And he bleeds from afar, you see. And he wasn't affiliated with going to church and things like that, but he still was a believer. So God can reach people from afar. And that's what's going on now. There's a lot of hurting people that have to watch other people from afar, like the man that was demon possessed. He was watching people from afar.
But they shouldn't be watching people. Their eyes should be on God, not people.
You see, he didn't know him. He didn't know God. That's what he did. Let me show you what he did, 37. This is what he did. One day he got bold enough. He was out there crying and cutting on himself with stones. And he was just out there, and he's like one of the people made look at him and say, he's crazy, cutting on himself. It's a personal thing. As you just said, it was personal with him. He was cutting on himself. He was harming himself. But one day he seen the Lord afar, and he ran and worshiped him. All of a sudden, make a long story short, he became a messenger of God. But he did it. You got to know him, and that was a personal thing. Yes, I mean, outstanding. A little bit more about it, but yeah, I tell you, that man became a messenger, and he was just so sincere. When they found him sitting up into the synagogue in the church house with other people, he said he was sitting in clothes, and the people were afraid of him. They was all right when he was out there crazy, cutting on himself, crying out. But as soon as he got his life together, people were afraid of him, and he had a hard time with that. He's like, why are you all afraid of me? I was cutting on myself, and you all weren't afraid of me then. But as soon as I got in my right mind, y'all don't want to be bothering me. So he wanted to hang out with the Lord. The Lord told him, look, you can't hang out with me. I know you're good for you. Go home and tell your friends what I've done for you. And that's what the man had to do. Yes, it was awesome. And it was personal, like you said. It was very personal. And sometimes, you know, from afar, a person can watch other people and speak. I don't know if they're jabbing or not, but I'm getting ready to try it for myself. And he got to know him. Man. So, okay, brother, come on. You wanted to say something that was
just the first thing I guess I was going to just comment on was, you know, first of all, definitely agreeing with 3072 about, you know, a prayer and trying to know for yourself in the modern day. But, you know, one of the things that I don't think I know can be ignored is that you can't truly know God without reading his word. And without studying on that, it, you know, in Joshua 1:8, it talks about how the word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. Oh, you can't really know him, and you can't really say that you know a whole lot about him if you just stop at just, you have to read the word and you have to know the word. That's how you learn him and learn about him. Unless you're telling me that you're just like Moses, or he just appeared to you and just gave you all the knowledge. You gotta read that stuff, because that's how he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you through scriptures. He'll speak to you through the word. Different things will stand out to you. He'll give you different understandings about different passages and stuff. And that's one of the ways that he can talk to you. He can talk to you through prayer as well and through life experiences, but one of the ways that he also can communicate with you is through the word. And that's a big chunk that is being missed out if, you know, someone is not trying to dive into the word like that.
Yeah,
so that's kind of like my comment that I got to say.
May I
that.
Intervene?
Yeah, you can, because
God knows each and every one of us. But my point to you, young man, is this, is that, yeah, you can not read the Bible and know God, because it's going to come from within your heart and your soul. And he will show you things. You can look at the book all you want to.
You're sure right about that, man.
You can look at the book, but there are some words in there so powerful you will never, may never understand totally what they mean, especially if you ain't got that part of that.
Until it hits you.
As I may say, quote unquote, in you. You can be raised in church, and then you can understand certain scriptures because they was taught to you from a child up. But if you do not have that part of that, you can open any book and may be able to read it. But can you get full understanding? I was reading the Bible, and I know my divine father, knew. I didn't understand half of the things I read, but I understood what was instilled within my heart. It's a gift from God. when you reach out and know him. It's a gift from God. He blesses you to reach out and touch you, and you don't even understand where it came from. You know it's him doing it, but you're like, whoo.
Yeah,
something come over you, and you say, hallelujah.
It's
a gift. So keep that in mind. There's a lot of people out there tell you, open your Bible up to verse so-and-so, so-and-so. And some of them may not know what it means they say, because they have instructors and teachers just like the schoolhouse in the church house.
Well,
today, I'm not disrespecting anyone, I hope, but to decode certain words in the Bible, because they have to be decoded to some people, not everybody. I don't think no one was born to know, but I know a man wrote the Bible. And they wrote many different versions of the Bible. King James, they wrote so many, and other people started writing their own versions of Bible. The Daily Bread, there's a whole lot of things. And that's the truth as I know it.
Yeah, let's say hold on, let me talk to 8112 and saying something that's very, very sincere and genuine. And I know where she's coming from, straight from the heart. So I like to say this right here. A person do not have to read the Bible in order to get to know God. Now, I'm going to say this because a lot of people don't even know how to read. Okay, but the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you can hear the word of God, you can just believe. That's why some people would say these words right here. Don't believe what the preacher say. Read it for yourself. Well, why is he the preacher if I can't believe in him? You see what I'm saying? I didn't go into the church with a Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. I learned more without the Bible than I have with the Bible. That's why I'm still seeking more of his will, because now I know a little bit of something about his Bible. But at first, 3072, I went through 5 years applying what the word of God taught me by hearing than I did before I picked it up. I got free from drugs without even picking up the Bible. I got free from smoking cigarettes without picking up the Bible. I got free from not selling anymore, from not picking up the Bible. And then later on, I picked up the Bible because he called me into the ministry and he wanted me to start doing other things. But it comes from reading the Bible. And so I'm saying all that. The word says faith comes by hearing it. Everybody don't have to read the Bible, because there are a lot of people reading the Bible, but they don't still apply it in their lives. And that's what 8112 is saying.
Well, I
want to say a couple things. It's not a bad thing to read the Bible now. I mean, because even I'm a minister, so you know I'm not saying it's a bad thing to read the Bible, but that's not the only way to get to know God to read the Bible. And that's the thing that I'm saying. We got a break we got to take, but hold that thought. We're gonna get the break, and brother, we're going to play the 17, and I know the brother, you want, and we're going to make sure that we stay right where we are, because it's a good dialogue. And you got to find out what worked for you. Remember 3072, you say it's personal. That means a person has to get to know God for themselves. And, you know, a lot of people just say, I'm going to go into church. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen strong and powerful, and I'm going to be able to hear and apply it in my life. I mean, that happens to a lot of times. So after this break, we come back, and 3072 will be allowed brother to speak, and then you come right after him, if you will. Okay.
Thank you.
Amen. Back again to Straight Talk. We just want you to know that we're talking straight here. We're not going to be going in any other direction. So as we understand what it means to talk straight, we're going to make sure we just head straight down through there with it and don't hold back. Whatever you have to say, just say it. And we will stir it up and make sure that we all have that gift that's personal. And I like to always get back into the swing of things concerning what Pastor Dockery had placed for me to bring to the table because he's out on his campaign trail. And we thank God for what he is doing right now. But the topic is moving from what to how, and reflecting back on how we get to this point. We know that there's a process of self-transformation in the interest of actively changing the social plight and condition of youth and their families who are prone to being victims of urban despair. So we know that in knowing that it's a lot of people that's out there, know the youth is out there, and so how we can be able to stir up what it is that we have had concerning the fellowship with the Lord and be the example that others can see, because the youth is having a tough time. We all have been a youth before, and we understand that we've gotten into some things ourselves, but being able to say, but I once was like that, but now I have changed and I got a relationship with God, and some got it by way of songs, some got it by reading the Bible, some got it by just hearing the word of God by faith. And so however you got it, you know that it's a relationship with him. And that's a beautiful thing. So we want to make sure that it's a personal thing. How did you get a chance to get to know God? And, you know, in times like these, we need to be mindful of that. It may not have been the same way that you got in contact with him, but at least you got in contact with him. And that's what we want to make sure that we stand on, so we can be a better example that way. Because you want to call in, you know, the number is 657-383-0944. We would love to hear your comments, amen, and you have questions. We would also try to do all that we can do to speak truth to you. So that's the only thing that's going to make us free is the truth. And how you got to know him, I don't know. How I got to know him, you may not know. But the good part is you got to know him. Isn't that all right to know that you can say, I got to know him for myself, and that's what caused it to be personal. And then once you get to know him, how about this? The word of God, even if you have never read it, even if I have never read it, but just so happened I heard it and then I read it, and it says, we then who are strong, all to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. Somebody talk to me about that. You know, if you're strong, and it's that you once upon a time was weak, but we then who are strong ought to, whether we do it or not, we ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. Talk to me about that. I think before we do, brother, you had something to say, and I want 37-2 to come back behind you with what she have to say. And then we'll talk about that a little bit. Go ahead, my brother.
Yeah, so I guess one of the things I wanted to say is, first of all, and that hearing and respecting, you know, what 8112 is bringing to the table and what her experience has been. So I just kind of want to start off saying that. One of the kind of things we got to, that, you know, I want to hit on or think about is, you know, God wrote the Bible for a reason. And he didn't write it just because he was bored and didn't have nothing to do. He wrote it because he intended it to be read. And I don't see anything to suggest that he only intended it to be read by pastors and preachers. So I think that one of the things to realize is that it's a process. I was never suggesting that is the only way or the first way or anything like that for you to start building a relationship, but it's a process. And I think that it would be arrogant to say that whatever way you came into him is, okay, I know him. I quote-unquote know him, prayed to him. He gave me a blessing once, and this is the extent of my relationship now. This is it. I'm done. I'm just going to stay just like this forever. It's about growth. So reading the Bible must be in that process. Back to the whole planning thing, it must be in, it got to be a goal at some point. Like you mentioned when you're on your own testimony, Pastor Wall, you were saying that wasn't the first thing that you did. But at some point in time, that became relevant to you, and you decided to take that serious and get in that book. You know, I think that the danger, and I will say danger, is for you to just assume that you don't never got to get in that book.
Mm-mm, no, they say you never have to get to be in it. That's what I didn't say that. This is what I'm saying. I didn't say you never have to. I said some people.
And I didn't say that either.
Yeah, and then it's some people get it like not. Some people get it here in a song. Some people get it by listening. Some people get it by reading. In other words, it didn't just say that you have to read. You know what I mean? The Word of God says study to show yourself approved. You know, rightly divine the word of truth. Now, so if you say study, study doesn't mean read. Study means study. That means that if I'm
when
playing
I'm
ball, you know, and I'm using this one example, I'm not saying this in saying because I've been a minister, I wouldn't dare tell nobody that not to read, but I would say this right here, that there was a man that was on the side of the road begging. It wasn't been about reading. It had to do with him begging, and he heard what was coming through. He didn't see. He heard. There was people with Jesus coming through. And he said, what does this mean? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by. You know what this blind man decided to do? He decided to call on him because he felt like, I've heard so much about him, I'm not going to miss out on his opportunity, so I'm going to call on him. And he said, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me.
Mm.
And the people who was going with him told the man to be quiet. The people that was following Jesus who had just told this blind man that Jesus is coming by. So the blind man felt like, since y'all told me he's coming by, let me call on him.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he called on him, they told him to be quiet. But you know what that blind man did? He got louder and said it again. Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. But Jesus kept walking in front of him. But as soon as he said it again, Jesus
opened his eyes. He saw.
He stopped in his track and told them, the ones who told him to be quiet, bring the man to me. And mm-hmm. then when he asked him the question, he said, what would you have me to do? And the blind man said, if I can just receive my sight. And then Jesus told him, he said, your faith, he said, receive your sight, your faith has caused this to take place. In other words, so I'm saying this is not saying don't read. This is just saying that there are other ways to get to know him. And that's just what, you know.
And I guess
so
I'm saying.
I would put the punishment on people by saying they have to read the Bible in order to get to know him. See, some people may not never have read the Bible, but I couldn't say that they didn't get to know him. That would be unfair to me. To tell them that, hey, you didn't get to know him then because you didn't read what the Bible says.
So
that would be unfair for me to say that. That's not my calling. My calling is not to say that. You see,
I'm with you.
And that's
I'm with you, Pastor. And I'm not stopping at getting to know him because getting to know him for me is the first step. That's not the end step. That's the first step. And once you get to know him, then you need to continue with the rest of your life dedicating your works to him. And making sure that you are doing all the things that you are assigned to do, and I'm not just stuck on getting to know him, and I agree with you 1,000%. I know that there are many ways to get to know him, but once you get to know him, at some point in time, you have to know him more. It's not about knowing him; it's about knowing him deep. It's about knowing him as deep as you possibly can. Are you married, Pastor Wallace?
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing to get to know him even more, without a doubt.
Are you
saying you got to know him for your personal self, and everybody know him in their own way, sweetheart.
Let me hold you for a second, brother.
Because 37:2 has something on the agenda, and we're gonna come back to you. 81:12 is you as well. If you will, let me get 37:2 to come in and say what you have to say, because you know we're winding down and it's getting, I would say, more joyous as time rolls on, you know. So 37:2, come in and talk to us about what's going on.
I'll quickly say, I'm in agreement with what everyone is saying. The young man that is speaking, I know very well and very personally. I understand what you're saying, young man. What you're saying is that it's great. However you can get to know him in your personal walk, you are going to apply what the words say because that's how you know him more and more. I understand all of that. I was just in agreement, being an older person, living 44 years, and my life experience. My mom and dad were both very heavily in the church. My dad was a minister. My mom was a mother of the church. And yes, the Bible was thrown at us. It was scripture, verses, all the other good stuff, while I paid none of that attention. However, what caught my attention was my daily walks, my life experiences, my coming to know a still voice keep telling me to go left or to go right when this crowd is telling me to go left.
Right.
I'm going to start to go right. Every time I go right, oh, man, there's some in this right. There's some in this right turn here. I mean, and I'm just saying all that to say, and I agree with you, Raphael, or 43, whatever your number is, you're exactly right, but people have to get to the point, like Pastor Waller was saying. Maybe the other lady was through songs. She could sing really good, and she learned a bunch of spiritual songs, which led her to quench a thirst, a hunger for what does these songs mean? Let me look in this Bible and find scriptures that go with some of the words. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, everybody's right. It comes in different phases, in different ways, in different people's lives.
That's
so it's
right.
all important and it's all applicable. We must apply it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's well said.
I hear that and I agree with that. And that's kind of like the real thing I was trying to drive home. I think that we was kind of for a moment getting stuck on the how you get to know him part. But the point is all of the things are necessary. And that's what I was saying. It was about the process. I was asking Pastor Waller, are you married?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, anyone that has been married, you know when you married the person, you agreed to marry them. Most people would say that they know the person. And ask them 20 years later if they know them more or differently. You know what I'm saying? Knowing him is good. That's the first step. But you can't really fully know them more until you get into, and unless he just appears to you personally every single night, like he, you know, the burning bush or something like that. One of the very important way that you get to learn about what he has done in the past, what he will do in the future, what he said he was going to do with prophecies is to read. Now, I want to very quickly jump to we talking about moving from what to how and talking about how we can try to deal with some of the social ills. Reading is something that's just in general, reading and planning is something in general that's just shooting us.
That's true.
And community
that's
because
true.
We don't read at all. You don't want to read the Bible. You don't really read nothing. And when you don't read, you seclude your information to the people that are in your circle. And the people that are in your circle today, they don't represent the people that you want to be in your circle tomorrow.
Agreed.
And that's why it's important to read, because when you read, you get to get the stories and information and experiences from other people in other circles that you might want to be in. And then the last statement.
No one said don't read now, people.
I'm hearing don't read.
No.
So I understand.
I mean, I don't know
saying nobody. Hold on. Okay, hold on, just please. I understand what we're saying verbally. Nobody's going to come out and just openly say don't read. But I'm hearing, I'm reading between the lines, and I'm hearing don't read because whenever I'm talking about reading, don't nobody, and the lack of action on the reading, and I'm not talking about people on this phone call. I'm talking about if you look at church goers, period. How you in church for 30 or 40 years and you ain't never picked the book up? That don't make sense to me. That mean that's not a serious. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God is going to have you in there and not call you to read the book in 30 years you done been up in a church service.
What if you don't know?
Let me get my point. So and I'm with that. But here's the other problem. When you don't read, what's been happening to our community, and you can look at it, is history. Because we don't read and we listen only for years, decades, to other people, what they got to say, that's how we get to see.
Agreed.
That's why people complain about just today.
Correct.
Because the pastor is lying to you. He is misleading you. He is sleeping with everybody in the church. That's the issue. It's because you sat there and only getting all your information from this person instead of going to the source for 30 years, 40 years. That's the problem. And my very last thing I want to say, tying that back to the urban and the community and all of that stuff, is that, you know, reading is a must. It's something you're talking about. How? What's the how? The how is we need to learn how to get more information other than the people that's just in our circle. And then two, the solution part being that we, it left me. Go ahead. I'll remember.
Okay. Come in, because time is winding down. We appreciate everything that you're saying. And I want you to also continue to remember that the Word of God firmly say, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And there's a lot of people that's picking up the Bible, going to chapter and verse in the church, but still don't know how to apply it. Meaning that, you know, if a person hear the word and apply it, versus, because everybody's not going to read the Bible. Everybody's not going to even get a chance to read the Bible. So we have to also remember that there are somebody that's taking notes from afar. In other words,
I agree.
They listen real strong, listen real powerful. And when you have that type of ear, the Word of God said, let them that have ears to hear, let them hear. And once you hear it and apply it in your life, no one can knock you for that if you did never read the Bible. You see, and that's what I think 81:12 is kind of basically saying, you know, allow me to have that personal relationship with him. And no, I don't may not read the Bible that much. I may not read it at all. But if he come to me and I listen to him and he tell me to turn left like 37:2 said, the spirit of that voice, is power in that voice. Now,
he'll
you know what I mean?
On. When he put it on you, you could not go astray because you can't.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. But can I say something?
Yeah, because we're getting ready to wind out. I want you to take it, and because I got to save you for last, 37:2, so you can have your say, but you're going to have, and then I can let the others say, have something to say because the time is winding down.
Okay.
Yeah, we got
about
5 minutes. So let 81:12 come in, if you will, and hold your thought, and you give it to us in the process in the end, okay? 37:2.
Okay.
Okay, 81:12, come on with something.
Young man, I love the things and how you feel within your soul, but we have to take in consideration everybody does not have that, what you're talking about within them. So they have through their trials and tribulations within themselves, is what I was saying. Also, it is what it is. Life brings about change for many of us, and you're a young man, honey. You just starting out. You are just beginning to know life. And you sound very educated, and I like that, and I appreciate that.
Yes,
but there's other young people out there that don't have the knowledge, the mom or dad that you have had, that don't know these things. And when we speak, we had to be, and I try to be, sometimes I make mistakes, but I try to be humble enough within myself to encourage them to do and say, and sometimes I come harsh, very harsh,
what go ahead.
Needs to be said in the right way where they will understand it. Everybody does not speak so intellectually. Because everybody doesn't have that. What about the poor little, not just poor, I don't mean money-wise. Because sometimes you cannot have a dollar and be rich within God.
Yeah.
Bless God. Bless God. Amen. Well, that's very well said. I mean, I want to get you to say what you got to say, 33:79, because this brother is very highly intelligent. Believe me, I appreciate his hunger and thirst for more and more of the knowledge of God. That's outstanding, man. So, you know, you own it now, brother. So again, thank you again, 81:12, because you put that in perspective, and I think stirring it up is what we're doing now. Give us something, brother, so we can turn it over to 37:2, and she can carry us on into the next segment of the winding down, if you will. Give us a couple of minutes.
I just want to say, you know, I've definitely grown from the conversation. You know, I think, you know, I think that it's all very important, you know, this type of dialogue. And, you know, yeah, I'm just always looking forward to and looking for the evolution, you know, and looking for forward move. And I'm always encouraging anybody I'm speaking to do the same, always moving forward, looking in the future and not being stuck where you are right now. And then consequently looking at what needs to happen to move into that future. Because clearly whatever is happening right now is not getting you to the future that you're thinking about. That's just what I'm always on for momentum and what to do to get to the next step. So, yeah, thank you. I appreciate the call.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you too, brother. Keep showing up, man. We appreciate you for real. It's on the real side. I love your intelligence and everything. 3072, talk to us and carry us on out. And it's been a great, great dialogue.
Been very nice. First, I want to say that I love all of you guys on the phone. Man, you are just my family. I really enjoy having these days for us to dialogue, whether we agree or we agree to disagree. We always come back together in the end, and I think that is very godly, and I love that. I wish I could have both of you and 8112 come down here, and we can just sit and have intellectual conversations. But I did want to say, you were talking about the people in the church. There are people that can quote the Bible backwards and forwards, you know.
Yes.
However, they still just can't seem to apply the word to their lives. That's because of a self-choice. Just
right.
Like those people that don't read choose to apply God's way to their life, they're choosing not to. So I think it drives back to your very first thought, Pastor Waller, of it has to come from within, and 8112 was saying that too. It has to be on your heart to seek him, to do right, to find the how. And you, all of that, it had to come from within. If it don't, you can go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, all you want to. And if you don't want to do anything, you're not going to do it. And like the brother was saying about reading the Bible, for those that have had those personal experiences, then your next step is reading the Bible. And that's that.
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Great. I mean, great, and I would just say, two or three gathered together in his name, touching in the ring. God, you say he'd been in the midst of us. Glory to God. Until we meet again, you've been listening to Talk Straight. We'll see you on the next time. Glory to God.